Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 65 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kel Goodman. Guys, today we have an amazing guest for you. This is an individual that we've been on his podcast. We've got to know him pretty well over the last year or so. We joined the same entrepreneurship group. This individual is basically the definition of leveling up and becoming the elite version of himself. Actually witnessed it firsthand over the last 12 months. He doesn't even look the same.
I know.
You know, and his finances are probably not the same. There's a lot of titles to him as well. We've had a lot of cool guests on lately that have been authors, entrepreneurs. He has his own podcast. He speaks as well, public speaker. He's one of the coaches here in the Apex group that that Ryan Stueman has, and he's just recently completed 75 Hard. Guys, welcome Thomas Keenan to the show.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the warm welcome, and this is one that I've been looking forward to for quite some time.
Yeah, dude, we've been looking forward to having you on. Yeah, so, likewise. Thomas has a company, it's Top Class Installations, is that right?
That is correct.
If you will, just give us a brief rundown of what that business is, what you do, all that good stuff, so we can educate them on that real quick, just in case anybody can get value out of what you do, and they could reach out to you there at the end of the show when we tell them how to find you.
Yeah, 100%. So Top Class Installations is my main source of income, my main business. This September, which is coming up real soon, is going to be year number 11 that we've been business, which is a pretty big milestone for us. And we specialize in the installation of GPS tracking and dash camera systems in commercial fleet vehicles.
Okay.
So our actual client, the person who we sell to, is typically the GPS company who sells to the end user. That's our ideal client.
So what's the pitch? Like, let's say for instance, when you go in and you're going to present something to somebody and say, hey, this is who we are, this is how you benefit from what we do. What are some of the benefits?
We're more efficient than the other guys who are competing for what we're doing. We have systems and processes in place, and therefore we can come in here and get the same work done in a third of the time, and we're going to have less errors, less even data entry errors or clerical errors. Believe it or not, yes, there is a blue-collar aspect to the work of us manually installing the devices into these work vehicles. However, on the back end, the data that we collect in the field has to be on point and accurate. We're talking about SIM cards, and basically the tracking device is a cell phone. So if we have one digit recorded incorrectly, it's going to screw everything up on the back end. The customer's never going to be able to see where their vehicle is in a road.
You know, it's a common denominator I've noticed in a lot of just guests we've had, business owners we've had, like all the best businesses are, they go really heavy on systems and processes, man. Like, you know,
That's true.
It's a huge separator, because it is amazing how many business owners are not, they don't have systems and processes. And I am not the greatest at it myself. Trev's been pretty good at it as well. Like, I'll come up with ideas and I'll get things started, and then he'll fine tune those systems and processes. And that's what's worked with us as well. But, man, I mean, what are some things that you've done to really dial that in, or how come you went all in on systems and processes?
Oh, man, how come I went all in? I got really tired of being the one who had to do all the work.
Right.
And, you know, and one of the first coaches that I hired, his saying was, you have to get the genius out of your head so other people can help you expand and grow and operate your business.
Like,
and that's exactly what it came down to. My business partner and myself, we had all this shit in our heads, and we were relying upon us and only us to get the work done every day. So if
it's not scalable,
not scalable that way whatsoever, there was little to no communication throughout the company because of this. If one person received a sales call or an email to go do work, you're replying to that person, but nobody else on the team understands or knows what's going on.
Where are we
with this? So we started implementing systems and processes, and we actually, we did it in backwards orders. So coming from the blue collar fulfillment end of the business, that's where we were comfortable. That's where I grew up. I grew up as a car audio installer. We were mainly focused on the fulfillment portion of the work. So, all right, we're going to perfect how to install this shit into the vehicles. And we're going to do it perfectly. We're going to get really good at it. We're going to be able to train our team to get it done very quickly, yet professionally, yet with quality work, so on and so forth. So we started nailing that, and that really helped us propel the business. And then we kind of backfilled and worked backwards. So we're over the past, let's call it 2 years now at this point, is when we've really started dialing in our CRM systems. You know, we use Pipedrive to keep track of all of our sales flow at the front end, just getting the right people in to help us keep track of everything and just really build a solid business.
You know what? What you just said, something just hit me. I think too many entrepreneurs or business owners are trying to perfect maybe too big of the picture from front to back too soon, and maybe create systems and processes from front to back too soon.
Which is probably actually backwards, right?
You know,
said we did it backwards, but it's because that's what most people do. They start front to back, but you probably should do back to front.
Exactly. So it's just chunking away at, you know, a system where you can duplicate yourself. Then now that you've done that, you can now focus on something new like a CRM. And then you go from section to section to section of your business and continue to make it better and better and better. And it's just this evolution. And eventually you look back and like, holy shit, we have a pretty fine-tuned process now, but it didn't happen by you fine-tuning it from front to back on paper first. You're like, hey, let's get really good at this and get granular with it and focus on this side of it, whether it's the fulfillment side. Maybe your business is getting better at the sales side of it. Maybe your fulfillment's halfway decent right now. Whatever it is, whatever's lacking, focus on that and get good at the sales or get good at the fulfillment.
Man, some of the best money in business is your repeat customers or referrals from your customers.
Yes.
So if you're built to service them really well, but you're still a little chaotic on your sales and your lead gen and all that shit, like, you know, like, yeah, you need to get to that. You need to work on that.
Yep.
But dude, the best business is going to come from fulfilling people properly. So
yeah, it's also the needs of the business too. So our business model is very, it's strange. So we go in, seriously, it's beautiful though. And this is one of the reasons that we were fortunate enough to be able to focus so much time on the fulfillment, because when we go in and we sell a GPS company that, hey, we're the best option for you in the Northeast region. Once we sell that person and we prove to them that we actually do what we say we're going to do, we show up when we say we're going to show up. We show up and they just open the faucet and start turning the lead flow on. So it's not even like it's a lead. When they send work over to us, it is it's a done deal.
Right.
So, hey, they depending on the customers, some companies give us emails, some companies call us, some companies have a fancy portal that we log into, you know, a couple times a day and check and see which work they've handed to us. Literally, they've spoon-fed this work to us. So one of the things that wound up happening with that is you get very comfortable. Mm. Like, work's going to be coming in.
Yeah.
So you just stop worrying about the sales aspect of it. And then all of a sudden, there's some changes in the upper management in that company. And all of a sudden, you know, your $100,000 a year coming in from this GPS company just went down to $10,000. Mm. Like, oh, wait a second here. This is a problem. And now you have to go out and start hunting again as a salesperson looking for that next vendor. So we started to intentionally develop systems and processes to go after directly after the end user as well. So now we have the ability where if, you know, let's call it Johnny's Towing calls us and says, hey, I've got 30 tow trucks and I already bought my dash cameras and I want them installed.
Gotcha.
Can you service us? Yeah, we have the contracts in place. We have we have the systems. We have the ways to collect money from them. You know, we have all that stuff in place already and my team knows how to operate.
You can basically pick up wherever they're at.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So
that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Because I mean, this goes along with the intro in terms of how much you've leveled up just within the last year or so. What would you say the biggest factor is? What was the switch that flipped for you that made you really say, you know, I want to become the most elite version of myself? Were you at a very low point at a year or two ago? You know, what? Because usually change happens when you hit a low and you say, I'm fed up or I'm sick of X or whatever that is, right?
It's the same thing that it's been repeating. So I'll go back in history a little bit here. So about my oldest daughter is now six. And I think we spoke about this in my podcast.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter is six and it's a life altering event when you have a child.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So this child comes into your life and you realize all of a sudden, oh, damn, I better get my ass in gear.
Yeah.
So that was number one. And that's when me, Tom, started self-developing myself heavily, started reading, attending seminars, coming to mastermind groups like this and so on and so forth. That kicked off and I got to a certain level, start hanging around with studs like you guys and other people within this organization. You realize, God damn it, I'm not doing
enough.
The best that I can do.
Yeah.
I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another driving factor. So it's very important to intentionally surround yourself with people who are doing bigger and better things than you are. So that
really,
right there
really
just
helps
keeps kicking
accountability
me
for sure. I know that's that's one of my biggest takeaways too from being in groups like this with you guys is accountability, man. Because you know we need that.
Well, it's just weird. I mean, when you get inside of a group and you're watching people level up and they're growing mm-hmm. quite rapidly versus what they were doing maybe 5 years into it. And then 1 year, then they enter a group, they look different, they act different. You know, you've wrote a book since being in the group. You've started speaking since you've been in the group. You wrote a book. Did I already say that? Maybe I already said that. Okay. Yeah. So now I'm just repeating myself. But you've
lost. You might be writing another book, though.
Yeah.
You
never know. Yeah, exactly. Are you writing another book? Plenty more of those to come.
Right.
But you did mention one time when we were here about the speaking gig. Okay. Mm-hmm. You did some big speaking gig with thousands of people, and you talked about some of the opportunities that started coming your way when you took a step outside your comfort zone and started speaking on stage. Talk sure. about that a little bit, because, you know, I think that that's a thing that a lot of people fear. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you were fearful at first, you know, when you first got on a stage or whatever it is. Talk about some of that stuff, because it's yep. obviously been huge for you and your business.
Sure. So it all goes back to writing the book. And when
Which
I was
titled.
Yeah. Unfuck Your Business.
Unfuck Your Business. Yes.
So I was self-developing myself. I was still working heavily as a technician within my business. Yeah. And I'm driving 30, 40,000 miles a year in my own personal car, job site to job site, servicing customers. And I'm like in audiobook focus mode. I mean, yeah. every moment that I'm in the car is an audiobook.
Absorbing.
And I'm just like ripping through these books. So I'm backing into my driveway one day after a, you know, 12, 13 hour day in a road. And I say to myself, that would be really fucking cool, Tom, one day if you write a book. And then I like smack myself in the back of the head and I'm like, all right, dude, it's a pipe dream. And thought went in, went out the window.
Yeah.
Fast forward a year and I'm part of Break Free Academy here yeah. at Ryan's group. And I'm seeing, you know, him, he's at this time had written 9 or 10 books. This one over here just wrote a book. This one wrote a book. This one wrote a book. And I'm sure you guys have had this too. Like, all right, well, if that dude can do it,
yeah.
why can't I?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a matter of me not being able to write the book. I just didn't know the steps and the processes needed to make it happen.
Right? Yeah.
So fast forward here, book is written, it launches, and some people, so backtrack again for a second, I come from the car audio industry.
Yes.
So people in the car audio industry, which I spent 20 years of my career in, start hearing about this, and there's a big association within the car audio industry. And the president of this association catches wind of my book, and I've been after this guy. He's been on my Dream 25 list of people who I want to turn into a client or somebody I work with for
yeah.
like 2 years. I've been trying to email this guy, call this guy, get in front of him, and zero. I mean,
can't
zero
get his
response.
Attention.
Can't get his attention.
Yeah.
And Saturday morning, I'm sitting on my living room couch at my home. It's like 8:30. I woke up late, rubbed my eyes. My kids are awake already. And my cell phone rings. It's a number from Massachusetts. I'm like,
I don't know nobody in Massachusetts.
Yeah. I got the family up there, but they don't call me. You know?
Yeah.
So I answer the phone, and it's this guy. Mm. He's like, hey, congratulations on writing your book. Just wanted to know if you had any interest in coming to speak at my event. Yeah, I've been trying to get there for like yeah. 2 years, buddy.
Check your email, bro.
And let me think about it.
Exactly.
So he's like, all right, cool. By the way, you got 3 weeks.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So, damn, 3 weeks.
And all this right. is your first gig, and it's a big one.
Yeah,
you didn't
one.
Just walk into a little 40-person
yeah.
yeah, room. A
couple,
you know?
Couple thousand people there.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. I'm the kind of person where I don't just slightly do things.
Yeah.
I've never had that mentality. Like, you know, even back in the day, building my own cars for car audio systems, it wasn't like I couldn't just go and put an amp and a sub box in. I had to rebuild the entire car.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 6-month project. And it's either all the way in yeah. or I'm not doing it
You're
at
not
all.
Doing basic shit.
So I start, by the way, he mentions that this speech, my very first one ever, he goes, it has to be an hour and 20 minutes long.
Oh my wow. God. Your heart starts dropping. Yeah. You start in a panic. You're like, you say yes, but then after that call, you're like, what the hell
yeah,
did
like,
I just
what did
get
I just
my,
sign up for?
Yeah, exactly.
So he's like, I'm going to, they give you like a branded PowerPoint presentation because it's part of this association. It's got, you know, sponsors and all that kind of crap in there. He's like, I'm going to send over this PowerPoint to you. And he winds up sending it over like a week late. So I lose a week there. The week that I receive it, I'm due to go away on family vacation for the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God. So what time do I have?
The pressure's just mounting yeah. in the back of your head.
Right.
Yeah.
So I say to my wife, she knows this is like a lifelong goal and yes. dream of mine. I'm like, thank God we're going on a family vacation where we rented a home.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily have to go and do anything. We just get to hang out at this really nice big house in upstate New York. And it happened to rain like 2 days that week. And it afforded me some time to stay back and work on this and knock it out. So I wound up putting together this presentation. The week after that, I wound up actually right here in Dallas, Texas, where we are now. And I go to this event. I speak. I had my copies of my book shipped down. I handed out copies of my book. I brought my videographer with me who followed me around the event. And this is, I wasn't smart enough to realize that you need to bring your video crew with you. It was something that Ryan taught me. He goes, you need to make yourself appear bigger than you really are because people are going to be like, who the hell is this guy walking around with the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was 100% right. So, you know, here I am walking through this event and the amount of attention that I got from it was,
people just wanted to come up to you and just say, hey, I'm so, you know, whatever. 100%. Who are you?
Yeah, so here I am signing copies of my book. And I'm like, I'm just a car audio installer from New York. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, man?
Yeah.
You know, and that kicked off other things. And, you know, we talk heavily in this group here about power moves.
Yes.
And power moves are very strategic actions that we take. Mm-hmm. Okay, so right now we're involved in the power move of recording this podcast. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. You guys have started your podcast. I have mine. That is a power move. Writing a book is a power move. Starting a business is a power move. Writing
speaking
blogs,
on stage,
speaking on stage, right?
Writing a book.
Correct. So these are power moves that we implement, and you cannot expect to see a return on your investment for a minimum. I believe a minimum of 90 days.
Yeah.
And in my experience, it typically happens more closer to 9 months to 12 months.
Yes.
And some of the power moves that I've laid out have taken years to come through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't have the tenacity to stick through with it.
Yeah.
You know, so like
if this, it doesn't come to fruition.
Or even start, man. Yeah. I mean, it's really uncomfortable.
Exactly.
For
if it doesn't come to fruition soon, you're just like, oh, it's not for me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, or I'm going to walk away.
I didn't
away
get
from
the
it.
Instant ROI.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you got to kind of forego that and not expect it. You have to show up every day and put in the work despite how you feel, despite if you want to do it or not. Despite if you have any listeners listen to your podcast.
Yeah. So you ended up going to speak on stage, and then you ended up creating relationships with other people that heard you speak on stage. Yep. People started coming up to you after you spoke, and then relationships started to unfold.
100%.
So
this association pulls me aside afterwards and like, hey, we got really good feedback from your speech. We want you to come in and get more involved. We're looking to add a fleet aspect. So, you know, the GPS and the camera stuff.
Yeah.
We're looking to add the fleet aspect to the whole car audio industry because they're so closely related and what we're doing inside the vehicles. And they're like, you know, we want to bring you in and pretty much have you run this section of all of our trade shows.
Mm.
So up in COVID kind of really screwed that
screwed
up pretty good this
show.
Year.
Trade show thing.
We got one trade show in this year. They're scheduled for four, and it's, you know, we're pretty much done for the year. But we'll pick back up, I don't know when, but the whole intent was for me to come on there, set up the whole fleet safety section of this trade show with them, and basically work out a deal where I'm, you know, making money to bring people in to be educated on the best practices to run and operate a service-based business in the fleet safety industry.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned too when you were telling the story is your top 25 list. You know, I know that's something that Steumann's taught, and I've never done a full 25. I've put a few people on my list, and it's weird. They do kind of appear into your life, and you get closer to these people. Like, we really wanted to get closer with Ed and Andy and put them on our list, and the next thing you know, we're part of their group too, and doing more close things with them. But how effective has that been, man? You have a full 25 list.
No, I didn't hit the full 25 either.
Yeah.
So it stems from Chet Holmes.
Okay.
It stems from one of his books. He's like, you know, the sales guru from, you know, back in the day. And it was called a Dream 100 list that he put together. So the Dream 25, it's the same principle, just a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. You put on the 25 top people who you want to do business with, who are your dream clients, who you may not have that relationship with right now. And, you know, I went through the exercise too, and this is something that is not done just once. It's ongoing over and over and over again.
You're always updating.
Right. As you check somebody off the list, you add somebody. And just like you, I never got to the 25. I think I capped that at like 19 or 20, and I was struggling at that point. But it's pretty funny. The president of this association, he was on that list, and he no longer is. So, again, I wrote them down. You start working on it, And here's the trick, right? And this is like one little micro secret that works awesome, okay? If that person's on Facebook, friend them. If they accept your friend request, you select them to see their posts first in your newsfeed. So now every time you open up Facebook, whether that person's writing happy birthday to his grandma or it doesn't make a difference what he's doing. Hey, I just went out with my kids, had a great day. You get to go in there and like and comment and say something meaningful on that person's post. And even if they don't know you from a hole in the wall, now you're beginning to
you're on the radar.
Yeah, you're beginning to break into their ecosystem and they're getting to know, like, and trust you.
Yeah. And you're getting to know them. It's easier to do it and approach them. I mean, how many people DM us on Real Business Owners and their name starts becoming regular, you know?
Yeah.
We got Mayor, we got other people that are constantly reaching out, you know, and it's like you start feeling like you do know them.
Yeah.
And you, so you if their goal is to do business with us, it's gonna be easier for them to do that.
Yeah.
So
the barrier of entry it gets less and less. When they're, if you send an email now, 6 months later, and it says Thomas Keenan, but they again, something's going to switch in their brain, and they're going to say, I know this guy, or I've seen this guy. This guy's always commenting on my shit.
Yep. It seems so simple, but most people don't do it. But the ones that do, it works. I mean,
100%.
Just your story's proof of that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So with public speaking off the list, you know, writing a book's off the list, you've got your podcast, you've got your business. What are some of the next things that you're trying to do to continue to level up? Because I think a lot of people will get to a certain point in their life and then they find comfort in some of the things that they've accomplished. It's almost like that guy that talks about, you know, winning state in high school. He continues to celebrate that old win over and over and over. And if people continue to talk about their accomplishments of the past, they continue to get that euphoria from past accomplishments. Therefore, they never move on and accomplish anything else. So you've done a great job of accomplishing a lot within a small time frame. I mean, you wrote your book in what, 3 months or something like that?
Yeah, start to finish with editing and all the artwork. I think it was a total of 8 months.
8 months?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, that's a huge accomplishment. You know, and I think some of the things, I think one time you when you spoke about that, you're like, I probably, if I would have really focused on it, I could have got it done in 3 months or 4 months or whatever it was. Maybe that's why I came up with that number. But, you know, what are some of the things that you do to try to continue to find the next best version of yourself after accomplishing a lot of wonderful things?
Sure. So it's funny when you work on a project, right? I like to set goals that overlap.
Okay.
Okay. So I had to write the book, right? Yep. What I didn't realize about was writing the book, and this is where a lot of people who write books make the mistake. They don't put any marketing behind it. They don't build a personal brand behind it. So, you know, you're going to write your book, right? Like, do you have your personal website set up?
I went and bought the domain name.
All right, good. Right? So you're on track. But this is a lot of things that people, they don't do. So I wrote the book, and it's in final rounds of editing, and I'm like, holy shit. I just finished this massive project of writing this book and editing it, but I have nothing in place for marketing.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, call up my website, dude. I bought the domain, you know, same as you. And we put together a badass website, thomaskeenan.com, shameless plug.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I started building my personal brand, build a website, you know, links to my book, links to my blog, links to my podcast, which was started shortly after that. And my whole intent and what I wanted to do, I learned halfway through me self-developing myself that I loved helping other people succeed in business. Okay. I got to realize that right there is my true passion and purpose and why I'm here on the planet. So with branding myself, I also began branding and letting the world know that, hey, I'm here to help you succeed in business. Hint, hint, I'm starting a mastermind and coaching program of my own. Yeah. So that's what I've been building up this whole time and working on for the past couple of months. And we're looking to kick this off and launch it and have it operational by mid-October of this year.
So all of this stuff is foundational work for that. All that stuff is a vehicle to get you basically the accolades that people are like, wow, this guy's done this. Because if you have a website and you have no accolades, they're like, well, who the fuck's this guy?
Yeah, who's this guy?
You know, but if you have a book and you've spoke on stage, you have a business, you've seen success, you know, obviously people are going to gravitate towards you.
Yeah.
You know, again, a lower barrier of entry. This guy's has accomplished things that I've wanted to accomplish. I need to get close with him. I need to get inside of his ecosystem and pick his brain and figure out how he's doing some of these things. Right before we went on the podcast, you shared a little nugget with us in terms of, you know, easy ways to write a book. Share a little bit of information about that in terms of, you know, how to speed up the process, because most people think writing a book means you need to tuck yourself into a corner in an office and you need to start plugging away until your forearms start burning and you're just typing, typing, typing. And some people are like, well, I'm not good with grammar.
Yeah.
I don't even hardly read books myself, you know, or whatever it is. They're, all these thoughts are coming in their head.
Yeah.
So give them a little bit of a tip on how to simplify this process to if they've ever thought about it and then that thought went in and out, just like you talked about. Kind of share some of those nuggets with them.
Yeah, sure. So number one is you need an outline, okay? And it doesn't need to be fancy. I mean,
my outline as
you need your game plan. Yeah. What are you writing the book about?
Okay.
You know, and then you're gonna name the chapters and put them into place, and then you're gonna break down. All right, what are the five talking points that I want to cover in chapter one? Mm. What are the five talking points I want to cover in chapter two? And this can be, I mean, when my I did hire an editor, and this is what I learned by hiring that editor. The editor created this very simple Google document with an outline. And when we were done outlining the book, it was handed over to me and said, okay, get to work. And this is what you need to do. This is the next step. Okay. You don't need to physically go out there and manually type and get yourself Popeye forearms. That's the old school way of doing things. Yeah. We live in a modern world, modern technology, and everyone has this fancy computer in their hand right here called a smartphone.
Yeah.
Okay, you go to rev.com, fantastic transcription service. Rev.com, you put the app on your phone and you can speak into your phone your chapters. Mm. You send it out to Rev for transcription and then you download it as a Word document and you then edit that document.
So, and then you can hire an editor.
Correct.
To edit the document. So in a lot of cases, you can write a book by basically speaking it into a microphone.
100%.
And then at that point, you let the smart people, you know, the editors come in and do they change a lot? Do they say, I don't like this? Or how does that process work? Or do they basically just take what you give them and say, no. Okay, I'll write it. I don't think it's good, but I'll write it. Or do they give you some suggestions along the way?
And lots of suggestions.
Okay.
And believe it or not, I tend to speak too much. Mm. And the editors made me cut a lot of the book.
So like, shut up on when you're talking on your phone there.
Yeah, I think my book had to be, for the genre of book that we were going for, had to be around a 30,000 word area.
Okay.
When they were done editing my book after scrubbing a bunch of stuff, they yanked out over 40,000 words. Mm. So I had an absolute metric fuck ton of additional content that I could probably turn into book number two.
Yeah. So you also talked about if there's people listening and you have your own podcast or you're thinking about starting your own podcast, you shared a huge tip with us as well. Share that tip as well.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've learned, and I'm not smart enough to think of all this stuff. This is just coming from other people who are doing it and doing it at bigger levels and people that I look up to.
Yes.
People repurpose content all the time.
Yes.
And it's very, very important. I mean, it's I speak heavily and I talk about it in my book about being efficient with your time. And where are you spending your time? Where are you getting the biggest bang for your buck kind of thing, you know? And you don't want to have to re-record or remake the same content over and over again. Mm-hmm. So what we do with my podcast, for instance, is I record the podcast. Okay, so I just like you got a notepad here. I outline my podcast. I rip through it, whether I have a guest on or if I'm doing a solo by myself. I rip through the podcast. My podcast editor publishes it. It goes live. I then take that link, send it over to rev.com, have it transcribed into a Word document again, and then it goes off to my editing team. They clean it up for me, and we post it as a blog on my website. So I have continually, I have at least two blogs a week going live on my website.
Off work that you've already done.
Work that I've already done,
So you're basically becoming more efficient because some people are going to think like, okay, I need to have a podcast, and then I have to have a blog. It doesn't have to be different.
Right.
Some people prefer like learning by listening. Mm-hmm. Some people are readers. Kel loves reading long Facebook posts because he's said that before. He's like, Stuman writes some long shit sometimes. Yep. He's like, dude, I just love reading it. You know, and then there's other people that prefer one or two sentences, just a motivational quote or whatever it is. So there's different people for different things. And so you could repurpose the exact same thing that you've already done on a podcast over to a blog post.
Sure.
You also said even we can turn our podcast and some of the episodes into a book.
100%.
Right? And we can have different chapters on different topics, and it can be called The Real Business Owner's Book, right? Just different topics that business owners struggle with. And that's something that we'll probably end up doing.
Right. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I guarantee we will.
Yeah.
One thing I really like about our conversation today is Thomas is not like a guy that's trying to be out in the market, like hire me to be your coach or anything like that. You know what I mean? He's just been putting power moves out there like this to grow his business and to grow his life. And it works. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to try and be a personal development person, you know, to go out there and start doing these power moves to grow your main source of income, your baby, your business. And that's where I think a lot of people are like, this doesn't apply to me, man. I'm just a contractor. This doesn't apply to me. I'm just a dentist, you know, whatever it is. But it does apply to those people, you know, and he's another, you know, good example of that.
Yeah. No, dude, it's been amazing getting to know you over the last year. You know, it's going to be amazing to watch the evolution of Thomas continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. How much weight have you lost just doing the 75 hard?
About 30 pounds.
About 30 pounds?
Yeah.
How much mental weight have you gained from doing something so difficult like that?
It's not a measurable ROI.
Really?
Yeah, you can't measure it. Not at all. And the physical aspects are the smallest percentage of the overall growth.
That's incredible. Yeah. So in terms of what? Discipline, focus?
Everything.
All of it?
Let me just dive into it here, okay?
I want to know how it changed you. Kel did it. And he was, when he'd come into the office, even like Jeremy and some of our other partners, like, he's in a bad mood. Mm. And I looked over at him. I'm like, he's not in a bad mood. He's just not accepting shit. Yeah. You know, he's like, let's just get this done. Let's get it done. I don't care.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
It forces you to prioritize your time 100%. I mean, you have to do 2 45-minute workouts per day. One has to be outdoors. You have to read 10 pages of a self-development book. You need to drink 1 gallon of water. You need to follow a diet of your choice and drink no alcohol.
Yeah,
and take your progress pick. Right. Yeah. That's the one people always mess up on.
I've heard people actually have to start over because they fell asleep.
Correct.
And they didn't get that picture.
When I did it, I made sure I did all that stuff in the morning, so that all I had to do in the evening was my evening workout.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
that's the
first
key.
Thing. You know,
the key is to front load your day if you want to get through the program and follow some form of a checklist. Since I think I was 50 something days into it, and Andy Frisella released the 75 Hard app, which would have been beautiful, but I built a Google Sheet and little check boxes in there to keep track of myself through the day.
So I would write on my album picture. So I created a 75 Hard daily picture album, you know, and I would write day one on my day one picture, day two. That's how I kept track. So if I looked in my album and I was like, day three, I didn't take my picture today. Hurry and get it done, you know.
It's funny, I did the same thing. I have a 75 hard album, and I just, you know, made sure all the pictures were lined up, and I would double check religiously every night to make
sure. The speedo that you wore at the picture one didn't fit on picture 75.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
You know what? One of my big takeaways from it was just how much self-awareness, and I've talked about it a lot lately because that was one of my biggest, you know, things that I feel like I gained through that. I was like, man, I'm so aware now of when I'm fucking up or when I'm slipping or, you know what
or
I mean?
Making excuses.
Which is so valuable to get, you know, just back to where you need to be.
Yeah.
So on day three of 75 Hard, I was smashed in the face with a 2x4 of reality. It's the way I quit it. I was like, holy shit. So in my home office, I've got a catty corner desk like this, you know, 3-screen iMac rolling up here, and I've got this piece of artwork that my wife got me for my birthday that says, I refuse to be average.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things I've always believed in. It's something that's driven me. And I think that most people are just average fuckers, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody, but if that hurts your feelings, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So fuck you anyway.
And you can go fuck yourself, but then you can unfuck your business
by reading the book.
You know?
So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, holy shit, dude. I've been settling for average for a long time.
That happened on day three?
Yeah, day three. In all of these areas, it was like ding, 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 all these light bulbs going off. All right, well, I can either sit back here and sulk and do nothing about it, or I can make the moves. And that's pretty much what I did. I got up and just started putting some stuff into place. I knew I needed to do some things. Like, for instance, my mastermind whole thing was on my mind for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, I had just received. So, you know, I've got a couple of businesses like you guys do, too. Yeah. And some of my smaller, I call them my side hustle businesses, got EIDL money. Like, why are you giving me this? But I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So I've got this pile of cash sitting over here. And I'm like, you know what? A smart person would take that money and invest it into themselves and build something upon it. So I was like, all right, well, you know what? I know exactly who to hire to build out what I'm looking to build out. Mm. So I'm going to take this money that I just got, this gift, okay, and I'm going to invest it, and I'm going to have this shit built professionally. So it is fucking amazing. And that's what I've been doing with it, and getting this whole, all the systems, processes, marketing, automation, and stuff built in, and making this ecosystem. Because I'm very big about customer experience, and I want people who come through my program to have an amazing experience when they come through.
That's what it's all about.
I want everyone to go through and have the exact same experience every time.
Well, at the end of the day, dude, they might forget about what you said or did, but they won't forget how they felt.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what it comes down to. I'm just surprised that hit you that soon. You know, how many days did you get to before you're like, fuck, this is really hard? Because I think everybody's going to get to a point where they almost want to quit or give up or walk from it. Did you ever have that point where you're just like, holy shit?
I had some tough days for sure. But I made the commitment to myself on day one when I actually, even before that, probably the night before, I said to myself, all right, man. And like I said to you guys earlier, I'm either all in or all out. Mm-hmm. I made the all in commitment, and I said, I am going through this. I am not doing this twice. I'm not fucking up.
Yeah.
And I don't care if I'm literally walking through the finish line on a stump because I've worn my foot off and I'm walking on my ankle bones.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish this. That's the mentality that
you
have
to probably go into it with that type of mentality to.
So, day one. All this COVID crap happened, right? And you know, I was always the kind of guy, I was going in, I was working with a trainer 3 to 5 days a week, you know, lifting heavy weights. So I was physically strong. Yeah. I was just fat.
Yeah.
And I go into this. I had been sitting home now for close to probably 60 days of, you know, this quarantine crap. You know, I live in New York, and gyms are non-existent. Shut down, and, and they're still closed to this day, which is a whole other topic that drives me crazy.
But yeah, we can talk about that for hours.
So, you know, I got really tired of being a lazy fat slob sitting at home drinking beer. That's what I was doing. I mean, I was still working, getting my stuff done, but I was like, you know, I don't want to go out of this situation worse than when I went in. I said to myself, going back to average people are going to come into this whole COVID situation and come out on the other side 30 pounds heavier, or with their businesses in a bind.
In a shithole. Yeah.
Right. Or their marriage or their kids hating them.
Something bad.
Right. And I'm like, I refuse to be that person.
Yeah.
So hit 75 hard, and it just pulls me through this thing. And here I am, you know, granted, this whole Corona crap is still not over and done with, but I came out on the other side a much better person, mentally, physically, spiritually. My businesses are in a better place. I have a fantastic relationship with my wife. My kids love me. I get to see them every day, almost every day for the most part. And that's really important to me.
You know, we can be producers, right? Like, we can get a lot of shit done and think we're doing great, but we're not elite producers. We're not really growing and hitting that next level unless you are, you know, getting to that commitment like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Having that realization and just going for it, you know, because you just...
I think people do what they think that they need to do. And then once they've done that, they're good.
So many of us, all of us have done it. Like, we're getting shit done. So we think we're fine and we're making money. We're doing pretty good. Right. We're living this life we've been chasing. And they're like, but it's not enough, you know, like,
just you can't settle. Even if you're living above average means, I think some people celebrate that. We've talked about that before. Is the six-figure income the biggest thing or issue with a six-figure income? Is people have that as a goal for so long, and then when they hit it, they kick their feet up. Like, I've made it. I've done something, right? And then they start rewarding themselves, whether it's taking time off or whether it's buying new shit, you know, and then they start blowing through their money, and now their lifestyle is equal to their income. They have no extra money to invest into things. Then when an opportunity comes available, they can't do anything about it anyways because they're living a $7,000-$8,000 a month lifestyle. They're making 10 grand a month, but they got to pay taxes and stuff on top of it. Mm-hmm. And so they start rewarding themselves. And it's the same concept of what we're talking about. Was Thomas still getting shit done? Was he still a successful guy in terms of above average? Yeah, he was. But
which a lot of people on a show that's called Real Business Owners are probably in the same boat. You know what I mean? They're in business, man. Like, they are looking to, you know, continue to succeed. But are you really challenging yourself and pushing yourself?
Exactly. The question is,
to be elite,
are you celebrating the fact that you are an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The fact that I am a business owner. And people can kind of pound their chest and say, well, I'm doing something more so than other people. And then they rest on that.
Right.
And then they kind of stop. It's amazing to me, the more people that we meet in terms of the groups that we're involved in terms of some of the elite coaches that we have, they're all just people.
Mm-hmm.
They're so fucking normal, dude. It's just insane to me. Because we get to a point where we start putting people on pedestals and they're not different. They're still just a human. They've just made different choices. Their choices then have a different outcome than the average individual, right? So you're always going to get what you accept, right?
It's true.
And so a lot of people just accept average, mm-hmm. right? Because they're hanging out with average people. Even if they're hanging out with average people, maybe they're the top of the people that they hang out with. So that they're celebrating that.
Yep.
They're good. Mm-hmm. You know, my friends make 50, 60 grand a year. I make 100 grand a year. I'm good.
Right.
They're elite inside of the group that they in their ecosystem, the right. people that they hang out with. And I think that that's the one thing that makes pure sense. Is if that's you, get into a group where you're not the elite person.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane to sit there and be in a group and we start talking about six figures when you're younger. Six figures seems like a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then now somebody says that they make 100 or 200 grand a year. You're just like, oh,
yeah,
struggling, huh? You know, or whatever it is, right? You start, again, your standards ultimately get raised mm-hmm. in terms of what you're willing to accept and not accept. And so I think that that's a very powerful message that a lot of you guys need to hear. Thomas just made different decisions than the other person. And now he's an author. Now he's a yep. speaker. Now he's got his business that's he's doing like,
I'm
well.
Not going to tolerate this level anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's do more. Mm-hmm. Because, again, instead of having cracking the beer, you went and did the second workout.
Right.
You know, or whatever it is. And, again, you need to realize that every decision has an outcome. Every decision, whether you crack that beer open or whether you go on that next workout.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same amount of, you know, you can sit on the couch for the next hour or two, or you can go out and get that hour or two workout in, and you might have the epiphany while you're out walking the streets or going on that run
mm-hmm.
that changes the trajectory of your life.
True story.
You know, and that's really what it comes down to, because some of the best ideas that I come up with is it's never in the office.
No, it's not.
Because you're bombarded with yeah. stuff all the time. And so it's yeah. about freeing yourself from chaos
mm-hmm.
so where you can free think. And I think one of the benefits of 75 Hard is a lot of the time alone that you have the ability to free think. And I think that that then comes full circle into the self-awareness aspect.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. So one of the things that I loved the most about 75 Hard was the fact that I had to go outdoors and work.
Yeah.
And for me, it started out as walks,
yeah.
45 minute or more walks,
yeah.
Minimum once a day. And basically what wound up happening was, you know, I mentioned earlier, I've been a reader and an audiobook guy,
yeah.
but I would go through cycles. So yeah. I'd read, and I wouldn't read for a couple of weeks.
Drop off.
And then I'd read. So I go through 75 Hard, and it's like, all right, well, I have to read a physical book, 10 yeah. pages or more per day. And you know what? While I'm on my outdoor walk, I might as well get some more reading in. So I was burning through audiobooks again. So here I am on these walks, which later turned into runs, and I'm going through these books, and just like you said, you're with yourself. I'm hearing content and information from other people who are smarter for me, who've been through and experienced more things. And it just lights up the energy and it's like, oh my goodness, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, idea, mm-hmm. idea. Things just start happening. So,
and it just compounds too. You're alone in the car and you're like, oh, pulling over. You're like, I gotta write that down.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the takeaway here is find time for yourself too. You know, I'm not saying go out there and break off 75 Hard. If you feel like you're at a low point and you're not accomplishing much, take that big bite.
Yeah.
You know, you'd rather choke on greatness than swallow average, right? Yeah. And just bite off little teeny chunks. But I do think it's important, and not enough entrepreneurs make time for themselves to focus on themselves because they're so focused on their business on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And then when they go home, if their business is struggling, what are they thinking about? Their business. What can I do with my business? What can I do with my business? And again, we've said this a million times, and I don't mean to be a broken record, but you essentially are your business. And if you have the same eyeballs on your business for 5 years and you're not growing as an individual, your business can't grow either. You're not going to see a solution to a problem that you haven't solved in 2 years by remaining the exact same person.
Yeah.
So you have to evolve as an individual in order for your business to evolve.
I say it this way. You can only lead your business as far as you've self-developed yourself.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Totally.
You know, and it's the individuals that are successful. They're not successful because they're the smartest motherfuckers. They're successful because of the discipline that they've created. And this program that both of you guys have done created a different level of discipline that ultimately leaked into other aspects of your life, yep. whether it's your, you know, being a father, whether it's being, you know, an entrepreneur. This shit will leak over into other aspects, right? Yep. And so, guys, I think it's very important for you, and I've said this to other people before, how much time do you spend by yourself? When do you have the opportunity to even free think? You probably don't, because you're at the office, shit's coming at you all the time. You go home, now you're wearing a new hat, your dad or mom or whatever your role is with inside that house. And so you're constantly playing a role. Where do you make time for you? There is a role. You are a, you're the entity that will determine how your life ends up. And if you're not taking care of entity number one, those other entities, they'll start, even if you feel like you're giving it 100%, 100% of a 30% you isn't good.
Right.
So it's a matter of finding 100% of what you're capable of and letting that leak over into other aspects of your life. Yeah. So, dude, amazing episode. I'll say that. How do they find you, bro? How do they connect with you?
Best way is to hit me up on thomaskeenan.com.
Spell that shit because it's spelled different.
I do not have an H in my name.
Okay.
My name is
Thomas. Almost
Tomas.
Tomas.
Yeah, I'm half Puerto Rican. Believe it or not.
There you go. Yeah. Get that Puerto Rican tax break. You know, that 4% flat tax.
You gotta live there, man. You
gotta hit up the family.
Start sheltering a ton of money that way, dude.
ThomasKeenan.com. You can also head over to connectwiththomas.com, and that's basically a landing page with links to every place on social media that I exist.
Guys, this is an individual that you definitely want to connect with. Make sure that you're watching what he does.
Pick up his book.
Yeah, he is the definition of power moves. He's going through all the podcasts, the books, the speaking, you know, mastermind. I mean, all of this stuff that we're talking about here, those are all power moves.
He's been following the power moves.
He's just doing all the right things, and all the right things ultimately end up attracting all the other right things to you,
the things
your
you want.
Business and your life, you know? Yeah. But if you're doing all the wrong things, you're just attracting all the wrong things. That's really what it comes down to.
It's been a pleasure, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate you, man. Guys, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure that you review the episode. Make sure you share it with a family member, a friend, a coworker, somebody else that you think that can get value out of this episode. And as always, guys, continue to kick ass.